Hello, everyone. This is your host, Sean. I am breaking in here at the very beginning of this episode to make an addition, a very important addition. Before we recorded this show, we had no idea that the new class would actually be leaked. What happened was PC Gamer leaked some information accidentally that I guess ArenaNet was not ready to announce yet. They're going to do it next Thursday. But the information leaked is the new class, and it's called the Guardian. Now, what happened was there was, in this PC Gamer article, in the caption of a photo, it says, Logan Thackeray represents the Guardian profession in Guild Wars 2. Regina Buenabra came on the Guild Wars 2 Guru forums and confirmed it, said that this is, in fact, the next class for Guild Wars 2, and it will have a full reveal next Thursday. So, again, we didn't. This entire show was recorded before that knowledge, and I'm just adding this in here. Next episode, you can bet we're going to talk all about it, if we don't record one even before then, actually, because this is some pretty exciting news. But the full reveal will be next Thursday. We'll record next Friday for the next episode of Guildcast, and we'll talk all about it, you can bet. So, on with the show. Welcome back, everyone, to this 33rd episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and once again, I'm joined by Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
I think it's something different to say at the beginning. Cause it's
I know.
I haven't seen you in so long.
I'll say it in Spanish next time.
Okay.
Bienvenidos. How's that?
I don't know.
So we have a slow week this week, wouldn't you say?
And yes, which tells me...
Oh. Yeah, by saying that, I'm going to actually jinx it, right?
Something big is coming. It's got to.
Yeah. Well, it's Friday, as of the time we're recording this, Friday morning. So we have, what, one more week? Oh, a week and 3 days before the end of January.
Yes,
and
come on.
The supposed class reveal. So I don't know.
We're recording this in the morning, so we're giving... I don't think ArenaNet's even awake yet, so we're just being very considerate, and we're getting this out of the way so they can hurry up and tell us as soon as they get into the office today.
Yep.
That'll happen.
We're so optimistic, huh?
It's kind of sad, really. I think people feel sorry for us.
Well, the good thing about having no news this week is that we can catch up on emails. We have quite a few, and most of them, as we were... noting before we started recording, most of them have the title Coden. Like, that's it, just Coden. So, a lot of people feel really kind of passionately about this.
Oh, yeah. And you know what I'm picturing is that is the Badger song, just replaced with Coden and Mesmer. Instead of Badger Mesmer and Mushroom.
I could see that. I could see that.
I think you should sing that and play it on the podcast next week.
Don't hold your breath for that.
Okay. So, we're back under Big Email Mountain.
Yes, we are. But that's a good thing. I mean, a lot of great discussion in there, a lot of questions, and some of them are kind of agreeing with what we said last episode, and some of them are saying, you know, you guys are crazy, get a job. No, just kidding.
Get a job, you hippies.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and break right into these, since we have about 15 of them.
Yay!
So this first one, it says, "Hey Sean," and then in parentheses, "and Ruby." I'll just let that. I'll let you.
Let so, that burn settle.
Yeah, yeah. Just wanted to say that you're an amazing pair, and the show is fantastic to listen to. I'm a new listener, only listened to 2 episodes, and if you have any doubts about the success of your show, put them to rest. You guys are great. In the recent podcast, number episode 32, you briefly discussed the traditional MMO trinity of tank, DPS, and healers, using Ruby's hilarious PAX experience as an example. Although the points about griefing were valid, a foreseeable concern would be difficulty, in particular, end-game content. The system displayed at PAX would be extremely good for open-world events where any player could join the fight, allowing them to both have fun dismembering NPCs without a care, whilst building a strong sense of camaraderie with their servermates. However, I believe this model would be unsuitable for endgame boss encounters which involve groups of players that function well as a unit and desire a tougher challenge, which where precise coordination, not griefing, is an issue, a la World of Warcraft raids. How do you think ArenaNet will address these difficult encounters, and what are your thoughts? Cheers, a happy listener, Joshua Ryolu.
You know, if you hadn't made me parenthetical, I would have pronounced your name right.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. That was awful. Okay, so high-end content without the Holy Trinity, huh?
Yeah, essentially. You know what I think? Here's, I'm just going to completely interrupt you here. Just completely.
Okay.
No, I really think that it's going to work towards some kind of a bigger thing. And I'm going to use another game as an example here. And I know people love when I do that. Rift. It's this game that's coming out. They have these things called Souls. This is just a basic rundown. They have these things called Souls that are essentially like dual classes. So you actually can have like three of them, I think. And you so then you can be you pick a kind of a what's the word? I don't know. Like a direction, like mage direction or rogue direction, and then from there you can, like, let's say mage. From there you can be elementalist, necromancer, warlock, all of those different types of a magic user, and you can combine any of them that you want. It's really cool. So, I really think that even though ArenaNet is doing away with the dual class system that we saw in Guild Wars 1, which was, you know, essentially similar to this, I just think that they're going to work something in there that's going to play off of what we already know with the skill bars. You know, we already know that everyone's going to have a heal, everyone's going to have racial specific, everyone's going to have item specific skills. Something from that is going to just build into these just amazing monster builds. You know, these things that will be like researched and they have to work a certain way, and you know, the efficiency of the combination is, you know, is key. I think those are the types of things that will be most of the end game in Guild Wars 2.
I tend to agree. I think what a lot of us are having problems with as far as the perception of this breakaway way of doing classes is that we feel like it's either the standard Holy Trinity that we know now, or it's just chaos and everybody running in every direction with no defined role. And I think it's the middle ground. I don't think the absence of this Holy Trinity has to mean it's just completely disorganized and not as good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking that perception, because there's no reason for us not to have that perception. It's what we've learned. It's what we're used to. And it's not a bad thing that we're used to this and that we feel this way. It's just that we're really having to break away from that method of thinking to understand how this is going to work. And it's almost, we're not going to be able to really understand it until we get in there and do it. Mm-hmm. So I think, and this just goes back to me saying, you know, I think they know what they're doing, and I'm just trusting them to put this together correctly and make it work well. And I think it's probably going to be kind of entertaining, and I think there will be a lot of confused running around as we learn how this works.
Yeah, I think also the concern here is if each person can be so self-sufficient, you know, with their own heals and their own mm-hmm. this and that, then how is the team going to work together? I think that's kind of the bigger problem. You know, when you have tank DPS and healing, then everyone needs each other. You know, you need mm-hmm. certain people. And it seems like with Guild Wars 2, they're really trying hard to work away from that mm-hmm. and try to get away from people needing each other. But I don't think it's as severe as people think. You know, I think there still will be, like the thing with the elementalist laying down a wall of fire and a ranger shooting arrows mm-hmm. through it. You know, I think that's a good example. Like, people can still, the skills are still built to work together with other classes. It's just not in that traditional way we think of tank DPS and healing.
Yeah, and I can promise you that you're not going to be able to solo everything. You're still going to need the other players, if nothing else, for the additional strength. And I know the monsters scale up the more people join the battle, but even if you've got this new Guild Wars 2 skill bar, I still think you're going to benefit from group play.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I think we covered that one. Let's move on to the next email. It says, "Dear Sean and Ruby / Ruby and Sean." I like how everybody addresses that first. It's funny.
Yeah.
I've been listening for a few months now and quite enjoy the show. I'm also a newcomer to Veritas How do you pronounce
Veritas
that?
Veritas Invictus.
Veritas Invictus. Okay. And am enjoying being part of an active guild again. My question is a question of etiquette. Here's the scenario. I transport to a mission outpost. Within seconds of arriving, someone who is clearly having difficulty with the mission invites me to join his party. Trouble is, I'm there for some other reason than the mission. Maybe I'm just there to merch out my items. Maybe I'm just passing through. Maybe I'm feeling antisocial and don't feel like playing with someone else. Regardless of the reason, I don't want to join his party. Is it rude to simply reject the proposal right out? Should I think about it for a second? Is it rude to reject it at all? Should I sit with his invitation going unanswered indefinitely? I don't like offending people, and I'm curious what others think about it. Let's answer that one before we get on to the next question he has.
Okay.
To me, you know, this is, it's kind of a, it's a specific thing to Guild Wars, but it's not specific in kind of the broader picture. Guild Wars, to me, you know, you get these party invites, and you can kind of see, you know, you can look in the radar and you can see who's already partied up, and it's a really good system. In several other games, they kind of get people together, they match them up based on certain criteria, like level, things like that. And so you don't have to worry about things like blind invites. But in Guild Wars, I think the blind invites like that, some people feel so passionately and they feel so offended when they get them, you know, that they'll reject them right away. They say, I've read forum threads on that. You know, people just get so upset about it. Me personally, I usually reject them if I'm already going to be doing something, and because what I figure is they're just inviting everyone. You know what I mean? They're going down the line, they're inviting everyone mm-hmm. who, if they need a healer, they're inviting all the monks that they see. If they need a tank, they're inviting all the warriors they see. And it's just, it's not, I don't think you're really going to offend them if you reject. It's just part of their process. Of course, that's not every case, but I think that's the majority of cases.
Oh, I completely agree. And it's a contextual thing. If you're mapping into, I don't know, if you're mapping into Temple of Ages as an assassin, then yeah, you're probably going to get, and if you're in an American district, you're probably going to get 7 or 8 party invitations right off the bat. In that kind of case, I will ignore them. If someone directly addresses me, then I'll just say, I'm in the middle of something, or I'm on my way to join a guildie, thank you for the invitation, and I move on with my life. I mean, I won't, if someone whispers me directly, I won't ignore that. But just standard party invitations, I just kind of move on.
Yeah, I think that it's, the etiquette is kind of like you PM someone and you say, hey, I really need an assassin, would you mind joining me? Or something like that. You know, are you busy? If you're not busy, would you mind joining? You know, something to make it a little more social and friendly, mm-hmm. I think. So I think even, I don't think that people who blindly invite would really get offended by a blind
rejection.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, when I do groups, when I set them up, well, it's usually a guild group, but it's if it's ever a pug, I usually always ask first. You know, I don't just sit there and invite. So, and I'm not saying that that's horrible, like those people should all be ashamed or anything like that. You know, it's just like,
No.
Yeah, I just think that it's if it's done, I just don't think it's a personal thing. If they're not going to take it personally if you reject it.
Oh yeah, and you know, on the other side of that, I've been in groups when Underworld speed clears were the big thing. I was doing those with a group of friends, and that was just, again, it's contextual. That's just how it works. You go around and you see, you know, a bazillion assassins standing around, mm-hmm. and you just invite every single one. Because you don't know who's AFK, who's there just trying to find a group, and that's the quickest way. And that's actually how, that was the accepted method of getting these party members. So that kind of mm-hmm. thing, it's just, you know, it's just expected, and that's no big deal.
Yeah.
Now, I have a confession to make, too.
Uh-oh.
If you are doing the random invites, and I don't know if this is just me or not, but if you are rude to me, you know, if you're nice about it, I'll consider it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm all that, but if you're inviting me into your party or if you're trying to join my party and I don't do it right away, and if you start yelling...
Yeah.
Press accept. Yes, invite me. Or then, and you know what really gets me? They'll, like, look at your party. You know, if you're trying to join a group, you can hover over the person.
Uh-huh.
And they'll, like, they'll see that we have heroes. And they'll start whispering, invite me. I'm better than heroes.
Yeah.
You know what? No, just... Don't be rude. If you're doing the blind invites, you know, if you're polite, you may find yourself with a group. But even if, and you know what, even if I have heroes because I couldn't get anybody else, and you do that, this is probably very mean of me, but I'm going to say no thank you. Mm-hmm. And then they call me a noob.
Well.
Which does not help their cause.
Then they're going to be sitting there for longer trying to find a group.
Yeah, so just, you know, have some manners on both sides, for heaven's sake.
Yep, I agree.
So anyway.
All right. Let's see. The second part of this email says, my final comment is for any ArenaNet people listening. I recall you guys proposing a 7-hero party system, but I also recall you guys were waffling on the idea. Please, 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 please let me take 7 heroes. For the love of sweet, merciful fog, stop making me fight with henchmen. I have almost no control over henchmen. They're cannon fodder. I can't even tell what their death penalty is. All I have to do is play with one other person, and I can have 6 heroes in my party. What difference does it make to have 7 by myself? I realize you want to encourage people to play with each other. I get that, but I am constantly in a situation, usually because of work and family, where I simply cannot play with anyone else. I'm sick to death of being burdened by the limited selection of henchmen with fewer attack skills and no options whatsoever for their armor. Other than that, you've done a fine job with Guild Wars. I know you will sleep well knowing you have the esteem and respect of Aaron Steinmetz, antisocial, unemployed loser with no game development experience whatsoever. Parenthetic, Ruby, that's not Sean talking, that's me. But thanks for coming to my defense all the same. Sincerely yours, Aaron.
He's listening.
Yes.
As we record. Actually, I was wondering who this was that joined the guild. Veritas Invictus is the guild that my main account is in. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy, I think I keep catching him at a bad time. I have said hi to this guy in guild chat like a dozen times, and he never answers.
Oh.
I have not talked to this guy once. So,
you know, he just doesn't like you, like me.
I think that's, well, it obviously made me parenthetical. But no, we were actually, and this isn't in a bad way at all. A couple of the officers were chatting recently, and we were like, so has anybody talked to this Aaron Steinmetz guy? No, none of us have talked to him. So I think, but the point here is that he is one of those players that has a lot going on in real life, I suspect. And he'll log in and then have to go AFK for something.
Mm-hmm.
And that the seven hero party thing, people are really passionate about that. And they have confirmed that this is coming. There's no more waffling. This is coming. We just don't know when.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, for the love of God, Embark Beach, come on already.
Yeah.
For the love of fog, I'm sorry. I want to use that.
Yeah, for the love of fog.
That's so awesome. Now, you know, in the meantime, while we're sitting here waiting for our 7-hero parties, a good trick is if you've got any guildies or alliance mates on, and I don't know if this is actually specific to our alliance, but it's not unheard of to say, hey, can somebody lend me some heroes? And you join up with someone, they put their heroes in, you put yours in, you start the mission, and they map out to go back and do their own thing, and you're left with 6 heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not 7, it's close enough, but yeah, that still works.
Most of us can function even, you know what, 6 heroes, a seven person party composed of 6 heroes, I think is still better than an 8-person party with 3 henchmen.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're still coming out ahead, but you may want to try that.
Plus, you can get the Dunkoro twins if you really wanted to. I mean, that right there, that's worth it.
I really don't want to.
How about the Norgu twins? That's what I want to
say. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Or the Livia twins. I mean, I'm, you know, whatever.
Wait a minute.
All right, next email. Hey, Rubon. I guess that's both of us together.
We've heard that one before.
Yeah. First, I really have to give ArenaNet some credit here. They may have dropped the ball developing the story between the humans and the centaurs, but man, they did a great job forming the basis for future rivalries in Guild Wars 2 with the Guild Wars Beyond content. The way people felt and acted toward the White Mantle is exactly what is going on with the Coden now. They kind of used Guild Wars 1 as a test market for Guild Wars 2 ideas. This is just another in a long line of examples of ArenaNet stepping up to the plate and giving gamers what they want. Now on to the meat. The Coden rock, in all caps. I want to play as a Norn mainly because my family lineage is traced back to Viking origins, but also because Jorah was so flippin' awesome. Now, on top of that, the Coden are in the mix. My natural tendencies are to side with them if given the option, but similar to how the White Mantle thing worked out, I assume it's going to lock us in our respective camps. I hope not, but I don't know if they would allow such polar opposites. And then he puts, Sean, you started it. Parentheses, get polar opposites. polar opposite worldviews to coexist in one race. Let's hope I'm wrong. Anyway, you two are doing an amazing job, and I love listening to you while I play Guild Wars. You make the game fun again. Many blessings for your new year. Prophet Elhanan, I think.
Elhana.
Yes, something like that. Elhanan. That's really cool. I like the fact that he's playing so deeply into it. He says, like, his lineage is traced back to Viking origins, and that's really cool, because then you can kind of relate a little bit better to the Norn and their whole story. And I agree. I totally forgot last week when we were talking about all of this. We're talking about the human-centaur rivalries and things like that. I forgot about the whole White Mantle thing. And definitely, 100%, they're using Guild Wars 1 as a test bed for Guild Wars 2. I mean, this is something they've been saying, for many years, and especially with, like, Eye of the North, all of the content there, even the way the stories were played out with Gwen, and it's just, it's one of those things where they readily admit that they were even the races. They're trying all this stuff out first to see how well it works before they develop it fully in Guild Wars 2.
Well, yeah, what better way to do it? I mean, here's your perfect test market right here.
Yeah, so we're, like, all in the beta. I guess you could say, right?
If this is the beta, I'm going to be very upset.
No, that means it'll launch tomorrow.
Oh.
I started it.
Didn't I? Man.
So, yeah, I think that could probably be the best way to look at it. We're in the beta now. They're testing the stuff out on us. So,
can we call it alpha so we still get hope for the beta?
I guess.
This is Guild Wars 2 Alpha. It's pretty polished.
Yeah, they did a good job with this. I'm going to go brag to everyone. I'm in the Guild Wars 2 Alpha right now, I think.
Oh, people are going to burn your house down. They will come to your house.
Oh, see, I shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff because people, there really probably is right now. I don't know if there is, but there probably is a Guild Wars Alpha going on. Maybe, like, friends and family or something. And I get myself in trouble.
Let's confirm that there may or may not be a Guild Wars 2 Alpha going on. We don't know because we're not in it. Neither of us are in it.
You're like my personal lawyer with the disclaimers and everything.
Stop talking. You don't have to answer that.
Okay, let's move on to this next email. This says, hey, Ruby and Sean, at which point Ruby says yay because
yay.
I put her first. I feel like a bit of a traitor right now as I'm listening to the latest Relics of Or as I write this. Oh, no, you don't have to be a traitor.
Relics of Or is awesome.
Yeah, we love those guys. I had a few thoughts on how the Coden will appear in-game and how they will interact with the other races, especially the Norn in your podcast. You seemed to feel that they would be an antagonistic race. My feelings are that they will not be that aggressive to you, the player, and the races. My take on the blog post from ArenaNet was that they will see themselves as superior and just leave it as that and won't decide to impose their superiority on the other races through force. Especially the Norn, they see them as failed Coden, but that is probably all part of the balance as they see it. What I did find interesting in the blog post was that on several occasions they mentioned that the voice, the spiritual leader, could be driven insane by the pressure of his duties and the visions he receives. As they mentioned it several times, I believe this could find its way into the game, perhaps as a dynamic event where a Coden tribe turns aggressive as their corrupted voice commands them to alter the balance in some way, for example, by hitting smaller people like the Norn. you've speculated that all the races would have a race like the Coden, which they are linked to. Humans would have centaurs, for example, and this got me to thinking. At the moment, three of the races have rogue factions, but the human and Asura don't seem to. The Norn have the son of Svanir. Svanir?
Is that son of Svanir.
Svanir. The Char have the Flame Legion, and the Savari have the Nightmare Court. That's very true. I was wondering what you thought the human and Asura might have, if indeed they do have some faction like this. Maybe the human storyline would see a resurgence of the White Mantle, Terry. Well, the Asura is easy. They have the Smurfs, right?
Okay.
Gremlins?
How many of our listeners are old enough to remember the Smurfs, I wonder? I hope a lot of them.
They still play that in rotation, don't they? Reruns?
Oh, I hope so. That would be a wonderful thing.
Actually, a little side note, they're working on a game and a movie. Or they have the movie out, right?
Please let it be an MMO.
The movie is actually... MMO. The movie's coming out soon. I remember seeing it on previews.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's like animated.
I'm looking it up.
I want to play the Gargamel faction.
No way, it's 3D?
Yeah. Awesome.
And Neil Patrick Harris, is it? Oh my gosh. This is awesome. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway.
I know.
I think that's a good point, though. Each of these have their own rogue faction, like their own kind of rogue group in there. Human and Asura, who knows? The human, I think, might be easy, because we've already kind of established this thing with the white mantle. What do you think about that?
You know, I am imagining that we'll have the white mantle, the rogue mantle, but I sort of am torn between I expect that and I will sort of enjoy it, but I'm also going to be a little ticked. I mean, did I seriously go through all of this for nothing? Did I go through the entire war and credit? Seriously, we didn't stomp them out then? Do we really have to look at those little cocktail dresses some more?
Yes.
The men in cocktail dresses. I don't need to see that again. I hope they developed pants in 250 years.
I think that's a safe bet.
I can see the white mantle coming back, but there were hints, I'll tell you, in Edge of Destiny, there were hints of maybe the possibility of some other rogue factions here and there. Just because there was some strife between even, I can't not call it Ebon Hookup. Ebon Hawk and Divinity's Reach, there was a little bit of strife there.
Uh-huh.
And there were hints at, I'm not sure what they were hinting at with the Seraph. More that they were, you know, pretty boys and just pretty little guardians that didn't actually do much. There was almost this undercurrent that some of them were maybe corrupt. So maybe there's something to that. And this is entirely my interpretation. I mean, this is what I took away from the book. But I got this little undercurrent that faction has gotten a little complacent and a little entitled, maybe, that they are above everybody and that they deserve a little more. So I see some potential that they could go somewhere with that, too.
I think this would be a good one for people to write us in, about that and kind of let us know what they think. Because there are so many little especially with the humans, mm-hmm. Based on everything we have from Guild Wars 1, there are so many little sub-factions of humans that any one of those could be the one. So I think that it's really cool to kind of speculate on that and use our speculating powers for something other than class reveals.
Oh, yes, please. Ugh. But no, actually, I would love to hear what you guys think of the Seraph in 250 years and what kind of undercurrents and what kind of impressions you got of them, because I got one that wasn't entirely good.
Yeah. And then for the Asura, I joke about the Smurfs, but in all seriousness, I think this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a quest where you actually feed them after midnight, and then they turn into gremlins. and then that's just a whole nother... No? You don't think that'll...
That would gross me out. Gremlins are nasty. It's like retro movie day on Guildcast.
Oh, boy. Let's start talking about Dukes of Hazzard now.
Yes! I used to work with a guy named John Schneider.
Whoa.
I always wanted to watch him get in his car after work, just to see.
This is being lost on so many people. It's just
I know,
just stop
and it's
this.
A shame, though. It's sad. So anyway, Asura rogue faction would be easy to come up with, and I don't have any specific speculation on what that could be. But considering how arrogant the little buggers are, mm-hmm. and how each one of them is convinced that he is the best and brightest mind, well, that's not entirely true. Because, a lot of them seem to have respect for one another. But they're very aware of their mental superiority. And it would be so easy. I mean, I can see ArenaNet having some fun with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that you're absolutely right with that. I think that it's the ego will kind of be a divisive attribute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much you could do with that.
Okay, let's go on to this next email. It says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, I've just finished listening to episode 32 of the podcast, and I'd like to add my thoughts on one of the points Ruby made on the Coden and to speculate on the Norn. In the last episode, Ruby mentioned that the Coden live on floating iceberg fortresses. I wonder if these sanctuaries move in real time. If so, they may be cut off from the land at certain times and only accessible via ship. This begs the question, will there be aquatic navigation in the game? I know that we'll be able to swim, but how about the ability to captain a ship?" Ooh, that would be awesome.
No, you have to swim out to the icebergs, I'm sorry.
That would be fantastic. Like, it reminds me of the games where you have Alad's Online is like this, where you basically get a group together and you go on a big ship and they all man different parts of the ship and they can fly from island to island, and each island is an instance. So they'll go to the island, they'll land, and then it'll have like a loading screen like Guild Wars, and then that will be an instanced island. That would be really cool. I like that idea.
That would be awesome. You know what? And I don't know how the logistics of this would work out, but you know what would be so cool? Like you said, if these move around in real time, during certain times of the year, they might drift away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would have an NPC somewhere, I don't know, like some sort of watcher NPC saying, you know, hey, I see, you know, this is approaching, and it's available for a certain amount of time. I mean, it could be weeks or months, and then it drifts away again.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just, and I don't know, that may be getting into a whole direction of the game where ArenaNet does not want to go, but it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
In July, it could, like, melt. Oh, I don't know. Then we have to fish all the bears out of the water.
And then there's, like, global warming, and then they have to get, like, an Al Gore NPC, and he has to talk about... No. Okay.
You know what? For an Al Gore NPC, I would sub to Guild Wars. Just for sheer entertainment value.
All right.
Doing okay, it again.
Yeah. This continues on. It says, "In Guild Wars 1, the Norn drew influences from historical Scandinavian clans and figures, such as the Vikings. As we know, the culture used ships to invade other countries and expand trade routes. In Guild Wars 1, the Norn were landlocked in the far Shiver Peaks, and as such, had no access to the sea. In Guild Wars 2, however, they have settled in Lion's Arch and other maritime locations. This gives ArenaNet the opportunity to further explore the Viking-like background of the Norn, and in an area they couldn't in Guild Wars 1. To add to my speculation, I'll give a slight reference to Edge of Destiny. This may count as a spoiler, but in Edge of Destiny, the protagonists meet a Norn pirate in Lion's Arch. The swashbuckling character owns a ship and even takes Destiny's Edge out into the ocean. At one point in the book, there's a nautical battle, which I got extremely excited about. This may have been an indication of what we have access to in Guild Wars 2. It might be a long shot, but I'd love to speculate. If nautical exploration were to exist in the game, I wouldn't hesitate to make a Norn pirate to visit the Coden fortresses and to battle Zaitan's undead minions off the coast of Orr. Well, regardless of gameplay features, I'll make a Norn pirate anyway. Those guys are badass. Hope all of this provides plenty of food for thought. Your fellow massively overpowered adventurer, Cornish Rocker. P.S. Ruby, the last MVOP night was successfully recorded by Necromas on his Justin TV. I wasn't sure if you knew that or not.
Oh, yes.
And P.P.S., can't wait for the next one. We actually, you did this last night, right? You had a...
That was so cool. And I've been like on a big high from this all morning. We had about 175 viewers on our live stream channel last night, just people that heard from word of mouth and came in to watch. I had some really great conversations with our viewers as we played through some areas of factions. It was extremely, extremely cool.
Yeah, and we did we recorded the last Massively Speaking podcast, which is a kind of a general MMO podcast that Ruby and mm-hmm. I do. We recorded that in Guild Wars last week. That was kind of fun, too. So
that was
we're doing
great.
A lot of streaming of Guild Wars. Yeah. Okay, so to address his thing here, this is something I can't believe I never thought of. Like, having the Norn with the Scandinavian Viking type of a lineage, to have them on ships is brilliant. Like, they were, you know, the Vikings were kind of the original explorers, you know what I mean? They pretty much founded America before, you know, any of the European or
right.
lower Europeans. So I don't know. This is amazing stuff here to think about. I really hope that this is the scenario I hope is happening right now. I hope ArenaNet is listening to this and they're going, how did they guess that? Like, how did this guy guess this? Like, that, you know, that was going to be our big secret. I don't know. It would be pretty cool, though.
You know, I had to, while you were reading the email, I had to mute because I kept making little excited noises. I was like, oh, oh, oh. Because as soon as he said that, I can't believe it didn't hit me. They had a huge naval battle. He's right. Mm-hmm. And I think I had talked in a previous Guildcast about the pirate Norn because he was looking at Jory. He was like, why so pale?
Yeah.
But they did. They went on two or three ships, and it was actually like the most disgusting part of the entire book because they were working with the Asura, and they rigged up this one ship. I don't care about spoilers at this point. The book's been out for a while, so I can talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
But on this one ship, they had the Asura. They rigged up spring-loaded trapdoors on the deck of this ship. So the Orient Undead, they come swarming aboard and running across, and they fall into these spring-loaded trapdoors. And below, they fell into, it was a big meat grinder. Wow. I mean, literally, a ginormous meat grinder. So the whole time, this battle's going on. And I can't remember, I guess they like popped the windows out of the portholes. And basically, undead puree is pouring out of the portholes. It was horrible. And they did that so they couldn't, I guess like you cut off one part of the Orient Undead and the rest of it keeps on fighting.
Oh.
So they did that to ensure that there weren't any bits left. It was
like,
so
like
gross.
Evil Dead. Huh?
Yeah, it was absolutely disgusting. But it was a naval battle, and everything in these books is potentially something that will happen in gameplay. It's just how we're looking at it.
Yeah, that's cool. Boy, I'm excited about that. That would be really cool.
That book was gross.
I really need to read that book. I love that.
So, but yeah, I can't believe, and it didn't hit me until he said this, until Cornish Rocker said this just now. So, way to go. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Also, Cornish Rocker, I want to know, what is that in reference to? Because Cornish Rock is a type of a chicken.
Oh, I'm hungry. I don't know. Oh, and you know what? He tweeted our live stream last night. So, thank you.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. All right, let's go on to this next email. It's from Flipside. Flipside Parallel, and he says, howdy, I jotted down notes during the last podcast, so let's dive right in. First, the Coden. When I first saw the ArenaNet blog post on them, I was horribly disappointed, because I thought the concept art we've seen with giant fighting polar bears were Norn. I was so hoping to make a polar bear Norn. But moving on, the lore of the Coden is very interesting. I think the repetition of the term balance is important. The Coden will be a force that will act as adversaries as well as potential allies against the Elder Dragons, the greatest unbalancing force in Tyria. On a slightly different point, each race seems to have a foil to act against the story. The Coden seems to be the main antagonists for the Norn. Humans have the Centaurs and the remnants of the White Mantle. The Char have the Shaman class, and the Savari have the Nightmare Court. Don't know about the Asura, save for the other Asura. They all seem to be each other's worst adversary. We know there were a few other groups we're going to get to run into, like Ogres, Krayt, Hecic, Undead, and some other mere folkish race. Mm-hmm. Quick note on weapons. I find it very encouraging that in Guild Wars 2, it looks like all classes can use both melee weapons and ranged. I was vanquishing today and thought, wouldn't it be nice if I could switch to a melee weapon and not have the damage be completely neutered due to lack of points in a specific attribute? Final thoughts, current bet on profession reveals, Guardian, Mesmer, Hunter, a.k.a. Assassin, and Engineer. Still chomping at the bit to see details on the Savari reskin. And do you think the Savari are really the dragon spawn of an elder dragon of nature who is the antithesis of Zaitan? Later, Flipside. I think, okay, he kind of addresses a lot of the same things as that other email we read, where we, you know, we don't know what the Asur is kind of rogue faction will be. Weapons, yes, I definitely agree on that. I love the fact that there will be both melee and range, it seems like, for everyone. Opens up, you know, more play styles and more classes for different play styles. Mm-hmm. And then the class reveals, again, getting back to that, I like that he kind of went against what, you know, what we've seen in a lot of other people saying, but the Savari, as far as the dragon spawn of the Elder Dragon of Nature, I don't think so. We've already pretty much been told what happened there, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about, but I think we've got all of that with the story of Ventari.
Yeah.
and the guy whose name starts with an R and I just completely blanked on. But,
Rob.
You know, Rob.
Ventari and Rob.
Why don't we just go all the way and call him Rodney?
There you go.
I'm almost positive that is not correct. I don't know what it is, but I know what it is not. But we know their origins, but that's actually a really cool speculation.
Yeah.
We could go that route with the Nightmare Court, maybe.
So, yeah, I think that's essentially, you know, we have that set in stone already. But like you said, it could be part of the Nightmare Court. You don't know, you know.
I think they probably just used bad commercial chemicals on the Nightmare Court, Silvari.
That's probably it. A little bit of the toxic sludge from the Asura, you know, dumping it. And, yeah.
I'm saying, Asura and Roundup.
Okay, this next one is... Oh, I like the end of this one, so this one's going to be interesting. Okay,
uh-oh.
It says, hello guys, this is long and probably not worth reading, but anywho... It's always a good way to start an email.
This sucks, read it.
I guess there were a few mails about your comments on the Coden, Ruby, but I have to ask, did you read the blog post?
Oh, I answered this one.
Uh-oh. The Norn, according to some of the Coden voices, are linked to a Coden tribe that wandered off a long time ago and are in fact true Coden that have lost their perfect shape. They were not created when Coda created the Coden. There were no mentions of Norn and Coden squabbles. In fact, in the teaser trailer, they fight alongside each other, and definitely nothing in the same magnitude as the war between humans and centaurs. The Coden has no need for war over territory, as they have their huge ships, and that's all the land they need. If nothing else, the Coden probably has a firm stand on how much and what sort of land the humans and centaurs should have, all in the name of balance. So more likely, there would be a Coden fighting against whichever side they thought were trespassing on a particular patch of land, if they were to venture that far south. Should a Coden, on the other hand, stumble upon any of the very few still remaining dwarves, they would most likely try and remove that individual, as the voices have claimed that the dwarves are no longer in the world. So there might have been a war there if the last few dwarves were organized. And they don't believe any race weaves the threads of destiny, but they do believe themselves to be the upholders of balance. These two are not mutually excludable, as you can let time flow and just remove the obstacles. Most likely, they'll be allies in the war against the dragons, as they are often seen depicting fighting Jormag's minions, and huge dragons that devour everything can't be good for a balanced world. These are my thoughts on the blog post. Please, someone tell people that it is possible to PvP without a monk.
Hi, Loudon.
It just means that all members of the team need to be able to play and will, in fact, make for a more active and interesting game. I love the idea that we have to play for ourselves and not rely on monks to handle damage, like some brain-dead drones hammering away on the flare button, which in turn means no one has to play the brain-dead keep-the-bars-happy game that is more similar to Whack-A-Mole than actually playing a vivid visual interactive MMO. As for Logan in Edge of Destiny, remember that all healing he does is after a fight, so he's not proof of a dedicated healer. Did anybody say that he was a dedicated healer?
Oh, it's probably been tossed around here and there.
Oh, okay. There's no dedicated res button. You can still play around a lot with your skill bar in order to do different builds. First off, there are 5 weapon buttons, and you can wield very different weapon sets. Secondly, there are 1 elite skill and 1 self/party heal, and they have confirmed party heals, or at least AoE heals for that position. Third, there are 3, see what I did there, buttons you can play around with in a lot of ways. I do believe that they will provide a lot of different skills for those. And last, we have the trait system that can completely differentiate all other weapon skill effects. It wouldn't surprise me if they had, besides the 3 fireballs with each attack, also can be vampiric attack with all melee, or dazed state with all deflect, and so on. And those are my thoughts on Loudon not contributing to the roundtable discussion. That is hilarious. Oh, Loudon. With regards and excuses, Felidon Windlore, P.S. I still love you, Ruby. He says that, not me.
I know. He did send that to me, too.
Yeah.
I answered that email.
Uh-oh.
I answered the first part of that email, and I laughed at his response because Well, I basically said, I am pretty sure that you were just trying to be sarcastic and state that you don't like my opinion, but yes, I did read it. As a matter of fact, I read it 3 times.
Yeah, and you wrote an entire article explaining it.
Yes, I have looked this email up, and I said I read it over 2 or 3 times, formed my opinions, took notes, went to the forums to see what the lore fans were saying, read it again, and to check the forum stuff. And he came back and he was like, yeah, I wasn't being very nice. And he said, I think I need to get a time block or something on my email. It's too easy to send stuff in the heat of the moment. And then I was like, well, I guess that kind of applies to me too. But what is cool about this, though, is that, first of all, yes, I did read it, in case anybody else is wondering. Yes, I did read it. And our interpretations were so completely different. And that's the cool thing about the speculation at this point, because so much of what we're saying, all we really know is what's in this blog post, are these paragraphs in the blog post, and everything else is just us taking it from there. Mm-hmm. And my perception is that the Norn are not going to take kindly to someone coming in and informing them unequivocally, oh, hey, that their opinions are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see a Norn and a Coden fighting alongside each other. But I think, sure, if you give the Coden the respect and the agreement that they want, then they're going to fight alongside you. Then you've got an ally on your hands. Mm-hmm. And the Norn are very big on individual. You know, the Norn don't have armies. They have hunters. They have fighters. They have individuals. So every individual Norn opinion and thought on what the Coden say and believe could be completely different. You could have a Norn. You could easily have a Norn fighting alongside a Coden. And 10 feet away, you could have a Norn and a Coden just going head to head.
Yeah.
Because of the way their societal structure is set up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very possible, you're saying, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go either way.
And I really think it will go both ways. I think you're going to have a little bit of both in Guild Wars 2. Hmm. So it's pure speculation, but I think we're going to... That goes back to our choice at character creation. How do you feel about this race? And my speculation is that the Coden are going to be that race that we have the choice about, and depending on how you feel about them, you'll be fighting side by side or you'll be fighting against them.
Mm-hmm. I think also, kind of looking at the bigger picture here, and not to, you know, of course not to pick on Felidin. I tend to do this when things remind me and then I go off on a little rant. but I'm not picking on Felidin at all, but interpretation of the information we're given is always interesting to me. And this is something I learned from Massively. You know, it doesn't really matter what you write. It matters how it's interpreted. And that can vary so greatly. I mean, I could write down a sentence that says, that truck is red, and someone would write a comment and say, how dare you say that no cars are red? And I would be like, what? What are you talking about? It's something that it's all in the interpretation, and the interpretation mm-hmm. is based on experience and you know, like reading comprehension, things like that. So it's interesting to me that ArenaNet can write something with a certain intention in mind of what they're trying to portray, and you will, you know, read it one way, and another person may read it another way, and another person will read it a completely different way,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we can sit here and talk about these things like this. You know, that's why we mm-hmm. can speculate and what we, you know, the bottom line is we won't know until the game comes out. Even then, we're still not going to know. You know, we're still going to be like, are they really our friends? Are they not our friends? You know, there's probably going to be, you know, quests and, you know, branches of quests that are all going to revolve around this. So for us to sit here and say right now what it's going to be like is kind of a moot point. But
yeah, it's speculation and wishful thinking and pure opinion.
Yeah. But we love it.
Yes, we do. That's the fun. So, and I love hearing the different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't do well with the whole thing about how your opinion is wrong. Because no.
Well, you're wrong about that, but
you shut up.
Okay, let's read. I guess this will be our last email. We still have a few left, but we'll try to get to those next week.
Okay.
We'll make this one our last one because we're a little over an hour now.
Oh, are we? Know, wow.
Something like that. Okay. This is from Farkas, and he says, so what pop culture references would you like to see in Guild Wars 2? And since this is my question, I'll add a parameter, not the double rainbow ruby. I totally read your mind, he says.
I wasn't even thinking of that until he said it.
I'd like to see some random funny ones like Halo or Homestar Runner. Also, did you see the Razor Switchblade at CES? I'd play Guild Wars 2 on that. Farkas signing out. P.S. You don't have to read this on the air, okay? I will not do it then.
Too late. Rewind time.
Anyway, so yeah, the pop culture references. You know, they've always been good at that type of a thing. They did the Mo, Larry, and Curly, I remember, in Nightfall. They did the... you remember that?
Vaguely. I'm thinking of the Blue Oyster and Cowbell quests in Factions.
Yes, Cowbell. They had that in Factions. They had... Well, the Mo, Larry, and Curly, there were three NPCs that were in Nightfall, and their names were spelled, you know, kind of fantasy-looking instead of just Mo, Larry, and Curly. What else did they have? Oh man, I'm totally blanking on this. I'm sure people can think of more, but but the point is, yeah, they definitely love to do this stuff. Oh, Eleanor Rigby in Old Ascalon, Ellie Rigby.
Oh my gosh!
I totally forgot about it. Yeah, that's one of the first ones. That's
it,
you know,
did
way
not
back
even hit me until just now.
Yeah, Ellie Rigby. That's she wants. She says something like something about all the children. She basically has a line from that song, from that Beatles song. And she says it in her quest dialogue. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, they love to do this stuff, and I'm sure there are a million other references that I'm completely forgetting now. But I would guarantee, you know, knowing ArenaNet, knowing how they have done Guild Wars 1 so far, you know, they have to put culture references. But the question is, what he's asking, what would we like to see? I don't really want to see memes, you know. I don't want to see double rainbow, although that might make it in there. It might be too late by then. It'll be like double what?
You know, no. I think by that time, memes that like that will have circled back around, and they'll be funny in a retro sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
So awesome. If there, that's one that you have to be careful with, though.
Yeah, I'm already tired of it. So,
I would like to see them move up a couple decades, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, more current things.
Well, I wonder if they're going to do kind of shout-outs to other games. Like, it's funny that they have Sega is actually censored in Guild Wars. You can't say Sega.
Gosh. Yeah.
But isn't that... Somebody said that that's actually a curse word in another language?
It's a vulgar word. I want to say French.
Oh, okay.
I gotta look this up.
I'm sure somebody out there knows. They could let us know. But
whatever it is, I'm sure I can't say it.
But so you know, when you think about the possible references they could do now, I mean, what I would like to think is that the ones they're going to put in maybe haven't happened yet, or they're timeless, like the Eleanor Rigby one.
Yeah.
So
that would be good. Just I think they need to be a little more modern this time around. But again, I trust them to get, you know, to get the good stuff in there.
You know what I want to see? Here's the pop culture reference I want to see. I want to see a Guildcast reference.
Yeah, there should be after all these years.
I say that as it's just funny. It's just a joke. I mean, it's like that would be fun. I mean, it would be awesome, but I don't really, you know, honestly expect that.
I don't know. It would be cool.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Oh, here's what I want to see. I want to see a Loudon character. I want to see, like, an old monk living on top of a hill. Like, he's the last one left. And he's like, I am a dedicated healer. I am the last dedicated healer. You can't add me to your party. And his name is Loudon Swain.
I actually pictured him with a little sign and a cup.
in like, a downtown area asking for,
yes,
for money. Yes,
asking for gold.
He's like, I'm out of a job.
Just please not strip dancing for gold.
And then he complains about how they nerf farming and stuff. That, Loudon, if you're listening, that would be the best. Wouldn't that be the best, Loudon? Yeah. Anyway, we should probably go ahead and wrap this show up. I think we've covered most of what we wanted to. And like I said, there are quite a few emails left. We'll get to those next time. But so don't fret. But if you want to send us an email, you can send that to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We have our Twitter and Facebook pages also, and then we have the main page, guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. That's where we have the show notes, where we have links to some of the things we talked about, things like that. So I guess that'll do it until next time, till the next the Mesmer reveal, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think so.
I think this is actually it. Like I say that every time, this is it. This is the time.
It's going to be the something reveal.
It has to be.
I don't know. I'm so on the fence about if it's the Mesmer or not.
Well,
I don't have a good feeling about it, so we'll see.
All right. Well,
hopefully we will have tons to talk about next week.
Yep. I'm sure. Hopefully we will. Yeah, that would be great. But we have more email just in case. So.
Yay.
All right. So that's it from us. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll see you then.